Welcome back to War Room Live. Second hour is on. I got to admit, it really is just frustrating because, like, how many times can you say the same thing over and over? And it is just the same thing over and over. And it's sort of the shocking thing about how all of this works. It's not just that the same thing happens over and over. Like, if you're a fan of history and you go back in time, one of the really shocking things is you're reading stuff from 100 years ago and you're going, this is the same thing we're going through now. How have we not broken out of this cycle in a century? It's been a century of this. And it kind of didn't matter what it is, but just the endless lies, the endless deception, the endless manipulation, and the endless just like memory erasure. I don't know what it is exactly, but like Ben Shapiro is kind of the perfect example. Like, he was always anti-Trump. Even through all of Trump's first term, he was pro-dissent. Like, he was always anti-Trump. And then he just goes, I'm MAGA, actually, I represent the Trump administration. Then he immediately, basically, you know, criticizes them, casts them to the side, says they're idiots as soon as they, you know, try to get peace with Iran. But like, in the very beginning of all of this, it was like, Trump is, we kept saying, like, Trump is losing his opportunity. The longer it takes to go after the deep state, the longer it takes to get the deportations ramped up, like, we're losing out on crucial minutes here. You know, this was in 2025, like, early on. I remember in, like, February being like, if he's not doing it by the end of February, are we going to start to get worried? If we aren't seeing the massive ramping up of deportations by the end of April, like, when are we really going to start, you know, being concerned about the lack of seriousness here? And just never arrived. And he starts, you know, the Epstein thing and the, you know, he starts saying, I don't even need your votes if you think Epstein matters. And then, of course, the war in Iran, just major catastrophe. And the whole time, we're making the argument in a couple different ways. But one of the main ways of making the argument is being like, this is going to destroy us in the midterms. Like, we only have 2 years to get a lot of this done, passing the SAVE Act most especially. If you don't pass the SAVE Act, you can't trust the midterms. They're going to steal the midterms. And that's it for Trump. So, like, that's got to be top of the, like, we were saying all of this. We were saying we shouldn't go to war with Iran. We get told to shut up. And then 2 months later, Ben Shapiro's going, you know, we might lose the midterms. And it's like, how long are we going to do this? How long are we going to do this? And I wish I had more sophisticated ways to describe this stuff. But to me, it's all very visceral. It's all very like, you either get it or you don't. I'll show you another video on the other side that I don't know why I feel the need to connect these things. The video I'll show you on the other side is a woman in Congress trying to question a school administrator about a situation in which a trans kid was photographing boys in the locker room. The boys were punished more than the trans person was, even though the trans person was doing the bad thing. And of course, the response you get is like a response from any bureaucrat, where they just sort of repeat a line from the guidebook, where they're just like, we always punish students in accordance with the guidelines published by our district. And it's just like, are we human beings? Are you a human being? Am I a human being? Are you a robot? Like, can we not have this conversation? Can you not hear what I'm saying and then respond to me appropriately? And I don't know what it is exactly that is allowed. I'm going to have to think about how to express this, because there's something like fundamentally wrong with our entire system. And it has to do with the way language is used to dance around issues. And it really is like the core of why we can't get anything done. And when you really think about this problem and like what you would need to overcome it, it's pretty simple, but it's also pretty dramatic. I'll explain on the other side.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on alexjoneslive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to hit some pretty crazy news here in just a second. I just want to spend another segment or so trying to sort of puzzle this out in real time, and hopefully you'll vibe with what I'm saying. A witness turns bright red after GOP representative calls out trans bathroom decision. This is clip 19 here, and we'll just let it play. But this is the clip I was talking about in the last segment. If you didn't see that. There's something about this guy's response that to me is emblematic of what's wrong with our entire system. And it's this weird lack of humanity that comes across that allows people to protect themselves from the truth. And they're able to sort of dance around things. And the thing is, it shouldn't work, but in our system it does. And this is the part that I'm sort of baffled by, and how do we correct this? And then, to me, you see a video like this, I'll play it in just a second, where, again, it's very cut and dry, it's very simple what she's asking, but this guy is in this bureaucratic, lawyerish kind of mindset where he can't possibly acknowledge that something wrong might have been done, because then he'll open himself up to vulnerability and he'll get sued, or his district might get sued. So he can't acknowledge anything bad happened, but also he can't really make a promise to change things if he doesn't acknowledge what was bad before. So it's better just to like pretend you don't even understand the language that's being said. And it's like, this shouldn't work. This shouldn't work. Anybody who tries this type of thing should be so embarrassed and shamed by everybody else that nobody would ever try it again. But it works, again, because everybody is kind of in on it. I'm trying to draw this through line, and hopefully people listening to me now just sort of, again, you just sort of get it or you don't. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks this way, but we'll watch the video and then again try to connect it to like you wouldn't run anything like this. This doesn't exist anywhere outside of government, what you're about to see. I guess it exists in the corporate world to a certain extent, but even then, there's usually a CEO or somebody that can just cut through the mess and get to the bottom of things. Well, let's go to the clip and I'll break it down. But this is one of the most infuriating 5 minutes I've ever watched, because the person's just pretending not to be a human being, and it's infuriating. Let's watch.
This school county superintendent turned into a bumbling mess after getting caught flat-footed by a direct question about the policies that they have in place when students are filmed by transgender students. I know, it's confusing. It's a lot. It's a mouthful. Watch this video because it is insane.
Dr. Spence, excuse me, I'd like to start with you. Can you share with me what your school's policy is on videotaping in private spaces?
Yes, that's not allowed.
It's not allowed. What would be the punishment for such behavior?
I mean, there's a range of punishments up to and including long-term suspension.
Give me some ranges.
Sure. As I said, in-school suspension, long-term suspension, up to and expulsion. Just depends on case-by-case basis what's occurred.
What's the criteria that you would use to determine the punishment?
So We would look at sort of from a progressive discipline standpoint, what, for example, what was videotaped, whether or not
would be acceptable.
Again, nothing's acceptable in terms of videotaping.
Okay, so
students aren't supposed to have access.
You have
to those
a policy like no videotaping allowed whatsoever, right?
Right, of other students, correct?
Okay, could you ever see a realm where people that got videotaped would be the actual like perpetrator? The people that actually were videotaped were the problem. Could you ever see that being a problem?
So no. Let me ask you a couple questions.
Let's go on to a specific instance that happened in May 2025. Three boys at Stonebridge High School complained to the administrators that after they were filmed by a biological female in the boys' locker room, which you clearly stated is unacceptable, and you can't see a scenario that that would be a problem. Could you tell me what your school's response was to that?
So, and I know this is going to be frustrating to you, but I'm not going
to... It's not going to be frustrating to me. It's going to be frustrating to you.
I'm not going to speak on the specifics of...
Okay, you want to speak some hypotheticals? If you don't want
to
speak specifics, that's cool. No, I'll give you a word.
I'm willing to speak in general.
I'll give you... You don't want to speak specifics.
I'm willing to speak in general and say...
Okay, great. Let's speak in specific. Let's speak in general.
That based on our policies, we would never discipline students absent a violation
Okay, cool. Let's speak in hypotheticals.
Disciplinary policy.
I'm going to give you your world, right? Since you're afraid to speak in specifics, even though your guidelines
are
not going
to speak about a specific student incident.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, why not?
Because I'm not at liberty to
share
information. Sure,
you are. You're choosing not to. This isn't a
disciplinary matter,
sir. And you're a highly educated individual. You know you can speak on specifics. This is a won't, but I'll give you your world. Let's speak in hypotheticals. So, hypothetically speaking, there are three boys in a locker room. Hypothetically speaking, what usually happens in a locker room? People change in a locker room. They undress. It should be a private space, hypothetically speaking, right, sir? Mr. Spence, you paying attention?
I am.
Okay, great. So hypothetically speaking, is that correct?
Hypothetically speaking.
Super. Great.
I'm just to clarify. Hypothetically speaking, change in locker rooms and should be able to change
right, it's
in
kind
locker
of a private space, right? Yeah, good. I'm glad we agree. So let me get this. In what universe, hypothetically speaking, would it make sense to you for a biological female, or anyone for that matter, to come in and begin videotaping me, and then the three boys that hypothetically in your world got videotaped, got a 10-day suspension, and the perpetrator, you know, the biological female in the boys' bathroom that's supposed to be a safe space, which you say is completely unacceptable to film in safe places. Could you explain in what realm, what universe, hypothetically speaking, that biological female would receive a lesser sentence? The person that does the filming gets, say, hypothetically, a one-day in-school suspension, hypothetically. But the victims that got filmed got a 10-day suspension, hypothetically. What's your response to that hypothetical question?
Our school division would not discipline students absent a violation of our disciplinary policies.
Excuse me? What the heck does that mean? So in what realm does that make sense to you?
A violation of our discipline.
So what realm does that make sense to you, sir?
Our school division.
That's a great answer to a question I didn't ask.
Students absent a violation of
okay.
our disciplinary.
The victims got a 10-day suspension, hypothetically. Yeah. The person, the biological female that did the filming, got a one-day suspension, hypothetically. You're telling me that's okay? That's tolerable? That's cool? That's acceptable?
As I said before, our school district would
You're
not
weak.
Discipline students.
You are extremely weak, pathetic, and thank God my children didn't go to your school.
I disagree with your characterization.
You can disagree hypothetically.
So comment below with your response. Listen, at the end of the day.
Loudoun County High School student accused of filming students in bathroom under investigation. The Freedom High School principal told parents the incident does not appear to be isolated as sheriff's office investigates. But do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I mean? We do not punish students without a violation of the student handbook. It's just like watching that video. It made me think we need a king. It's almost like we need a king. It's almost like I don't want to talk about this stuff anymore. We shouldn't need to talk about this stuff anymore. We shouldn't have to listen to them. We shouldn't have to debate them. I don't care if they're unwilling to admit what they're doing. I don't care if they're just obstinately lying constantly about what they... We shouldn't have to listen to them. We shouldn't have to pay attention to them. And so it just reminds me of, like, I don't know, my kids will try to, like, as a parent, you don't want to just... 40 other victims in the past 3 years. Jeez, I'm Pete. Nick Minock reported Tuesday that multiple sources told him the Freedom High School student accused of taking pictures and videos of other students in the bathroom stalls identify as transgender, and there may be more than 40 potential victims over the last 3 years. And Loudoun County is the perfect example, and it happens over and over again. This is just the latest in the incredibly long series of more or less this exact thing, same thing happening. And I'm sure you're sick of hearing it from me, but just to reiterate, just to remind you of what happened in Loudoun County, is there was a big vote coming up to determine whether or not they would allow transgender students into bathrooms. Now, they already were doing that, but they wanted to have it officially, you know, as a rule, just to shut up all the racist transphobes out there so they can point to it and go, but it's in the rules, but it's legal because it's in the rules. Again, this is all part and parcel of the same, like, mindset that I'm trying to define so we can destroy it. I don't know what it is exactly, but that's a part of it too, right? It's like, but it's in the rule book. It says my son can watch your daughter change. It's in the rule book though. And it's like, I don't care what's in the rule. What are you talking about? And the rule book's wrong and it needs to be burned and you along with it. But that this is this whole sort of attitude, right? So Loudoun County wanted to change the rule and they were going to vote on it. There was a vote coming up. So the topic of safety of women in transgender bathrooms was a major topic. Unfortunately for them, at this exact moment, a trans girl, a boy in a skirt, raped a girl in a bathroom in a Loudoun County school. Now, for human beings, you would have a couple reactions to that. If you were a human being, and say you thought that the opposition to transgender bathrooms, it was absurd, it was nonsense, it was fear-mongering, there was no threat. The instant that you see that a boy dresses up like a girl, goes into a girl's bathroom and rapes a girl, your reaction as a human being should be to go, oh my God, the threat is real. Never mind. I thought it was fake. I thought it was fear mongering. I thought you were lying. I now see that you are in fact accurate. Here with my own eyes is a little girl who's had her life probably destroyed, at least for a time period. She's probably not going to want to go to the bathroom alone for a little while because of the trauma that we've subjected her to. My God, what a horrible thing. Let's not let this thing happen again. That would be the human response to all of this. Yeah, and the reason all this came out is because when the dad went to protest, the cops drag him to the ground and arrest him and throw him out. Because what actually happened in the school district is they saw the rape happen and they thought, gee, this looks bad for our bill. This looks bad for our vote coming up. We better cover it up. And to cover it up, we better not punish the person who did it. We better just quietly shift them over. You know, they took the Catholic Church tactic. Oh, you got a rapist priest. Don't punish him. Don't expose him. Don't send him to jail. Don't call the cops. Don't even punish him internally. Just move him a little farther away to a population that doesn't know what he's done. So, you know, he can do it again. What do you think happened? They move the kid to a different school. He does it again. So these people aren't human is what I'm saying. Well, I don't know what's motivating them, but it's nothing I recognize. Because to me, if I'm voting because I want to help trans people be who they are, and I don't want to see a bunch of trans, you know, people with this troublesome thing they were born with and, you know, they need our support. And like, okay, I can imagine being an idiot. I can imagine being a dumb, brainwashed moron, incompetent fool who believes that sort of stuff. I can put myself in that mindset. I cannot put myself in the mindset of the people that continue to believe that and continue to push that and actually actively cover up the evidence when it is shown that their position is abjectly wrong and actually extremely dangerous to the very people they're supposed to support. So I don't know what we do about this. I don't know what we do about these people. Because to me, seeing this, and I was relating it to my kids, like as a parent, you know, you don't, like, you know, your kid always models whatever you do. So, you know, you don't just go up and snatch something out of their hand because then they're just going to go do that to their sister. And it's just a cycle. So, you know, you never jump right to just like physical intervention. But like a lot of times there's a certain point where you're like, please do this. Will you please do? I'll explain why you should do this. But now you have to do it. You're going to get in trouble if you don't do it. You got to do this now. And eventually you just go, I'm doing it for you. There. If you didn't want me to do it, you should have done it earlier. Like, at a certain point, you have to stop arguing with the children and be the adult and just do what needs to be done. Of course, the problem is, if America were to be ruled by some unquestioning person, it would almost certainly be some blue-haired psychopath. And, you know, I have an existential fear of establishing any sort of system where somebody can just make decisions without any pushback whatsoever. But how do you deal with a system where the pushback is infinite, where it never stops, where you're constantly having to try to debate and argue with people who are not arguing in good faith and don't have anybody's best interest in mind and are just engaged in this big game of deception that they think, if only I can lie well enough, then I'll win. How do you deal with people like this? How do you deal with people who you can ask them, like, there was this situation in your school where this happened. Wasn't that wrong? And they can't respond to it. They can't acknowledge it. They certainly aren't going to make any changes to make sure it never happens again. How do you deal with people like this? And how do we deal with it on a societal level that this is what our entire system is? Our entire system is a bunch of like very obvious crap that we cannot solve, that we cannot handle, that we cannot deal with because our system is run by these retards who just like will not acknowledge reality, will not tell the truth, will not admit when they're wrong, will push for the most devastating policies you can possibly imagine because they have this bizarre fantasy that they're fighting against opposition or oppression that has not existed in 100 years. Like, what do we do here? What do we do about this? Because these people are insane and we have to stop listening to them and even giving them a chance to talk. That is literally my position. Like, because to me, as I'm watching this video of this, you know, fat, weak, pudgy, pathetic school administrator pretending not to be a human being, pretending like he can't understand what's being said. Like, in my mind, what needs to happen is there needs to just be like a dude with a crown and a scepter who's just like, I don't care what you think. Whack. we're just going to do what's right. We got to stop talking about this eventually. Eventually, we got to stop trying to convince these people to come over to our side. Eventually, it's just got to be like, your policy gets girls raped. You're gone. You're gone. You're going to jail. We're not talking about it anymore. I'm not listening to the reasons you think it needs to happen. I don't care. You're just a liar. You're just a barrier to our progress. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand I have exactly the same feeling when I hear people talk about Podcastistan being funded by Qatar? That's just like, shut up. Like, what? Why do we have to even talk to these people? Why are these people? Why can nobody else see through them? Like, that's the real question, is like, how can nobody else see through just this endless deception, the endless manipulation, the endless absurdity? How is it that we feel the need to like discuss this? Because that really is the thing, is to me, you watch that, I would think absolutely everybody who watched that would be like, that guy was a scumbag, that guy was a slug, he was a slug person, he knows exactly what he's doing, and he wants people to be abused, he won't punish the abusers, he must want it to keep going. Like, that can be the only conclusion. But you know that at least half the people watching that are just like, that horrible Republican trying to politicize this tragic event, you know? And it's just like, I'm just sick of talk. I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sick of talking. I'm sick of hearing these people talk like it. I'm just sick of it. And it just goes on and on. Let's go to this one. This is Jewish Democrat Jake Auchincloss calling for censorship on social media to fight against anti-Semitism. Of course. Of course. Clip 25. Let's watch.
I reject the mushrooming of anti-Semitism within the Democratic Party, which is a problem. I reject it within the Republican Party, where it is a problem. You saw Tom Massey run ads with Star of David behind his opponent. You see Brandon Herrera in Texas wallowing in Nazi iconography. It's a huge issue on both sides. We have to condemn it on both sides, and I've done that clearly and unequivocally for the last 5 years. We also have to look at the fundamental drivers of anti-Semitism, which I believe is social media. In general, scapegoating of Jews happens in failed societies. It happens when the pathologies of the moment are turned against the other. And right now, we're seeing anti-Semitism mushroom on social media because it's a failed society. There's no norms, there's toxicity, and we have to hold Meta and TikTok and Insta and Snap and the rest of them accountable for the corrosion that they are platforming.
Counterpoint. Shut up, idiot. Counterpoint here. Shut up and go away forever. The floor is yours. Rep Auchincloss is from ADL, called out anti-Semitism on both sides of the aisle and named social media as a key driver. He's right. That's why ADL supports the Bipartisan Jewish American Security Act, JASA, which would require platforms like Meta, TikTok, and Snap to publicly report on how they moderate anti-Semitic content. We urge Congress to pass it now. They have to report to us, your unelected, self-appointed Jewish overlords. Everything that they say has to be approved by us, or else we'll kill them. Yeah, like, again, to me, we're just at a point where I don't feel the need to argue against that. I don't feel the need to try to rebut it or discredit his statement. It's discrediting on its face. And at this point, if you can't see that, like, I'm not really that interested in trying to convince you. Well, what were his examples of anti-Semitism? Why does he think we should abolish, in effect, the fundamental underlying value of our entire system, free speech? Why does he think free speech needs to be eradicated to protect the feelings of Jews? Because Thomas Massie had a Star of David in one of his videos, and some other guy revels in Nazi iconography? What the hell does that even mean? Does he have an eagle? Because the Nazis liked eagles too, so therefore he's a Nazi. Like, does he have a swastika tattoo? No. So what are you talking about? And here's my question. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about, a Thomas Massie and a Star of David. I never saw Thomas Massie really bring up Jewish people in his administration. I saw a lot of Jewish people talking about their opposition to Thomas Massie on the basis of their Judaism. Okay. So he has a picture of Paul Singer where Paul Singer is sitting in front of a Star of David. Did Thomas Massie put him in front of the Star of David, or was he sitting in front of the Star of David? And that's why you want to destroy the First Amendment, because Paul Singer's Jewish and Thomas Massie doesn't like him?
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time. Uncensored. Unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me! The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
A very special event is about to happen this July 4th, 2026. The 250th anniversary of the beginning of our republic. And hey, Our country's had a lot of problems, done a lot of bad things, but it's also done a lot of exceptional things. And it created the model of human liberty that others have aspired to across the world. That's why the globalists have come to this nation and tried to take it over, because our liberties and freedoms amassed so much wealth, so many inventions, so much ingenuity, that it became the center of the world. So tyranny came here and had pretty much taken the nation over. But now we have major beachheads at the federal, state, and local level. And there are populist movements expanding and raging across the world in the great fourth turning, the great awakening. Their great reset, their COVID attack, their lockdowns have only backfired on them. And their attempts to launch all these wars has only awoken humanity. And that's why we're doing a fundraiser right now until the end of July, with more than a dozen limited edition shirts, some of the best designs ever at thealexjonesstore.com that are only available through the month of July. Ladies and gentlemen, these shirts fund our operation. They're great fabric. They feel really good. They're printed right here in the United States in Arkansas. And I designed many of these shirts. These are some of the best, cleanest designs we've ever had. This one just came from Arkansas out of the mail. It hasn't even been washed yet or even folded. That's why it's got a few wrinkles. It looks even better once you've washed it and taken it out of the dryer. And we've got a whole bunch of incredible designs we're putting on screen right now. And when you wear these shirts out in public, you meet like-minded people, it is a real adventure. There are hundreds of other incredible designs, ball caps. Many of them are limited edition. All these 250th anniversary are, and they're only available at thealexjonesstore.com. Look at this. America, 76, 250 years with the Betsy Ross flag on the arm. That's what it's all about. So get your shirts now. Get the best supplements, the best water filtration, and more at thealexjonesstore.com, and keep us on the air. Thank you so much for your support. America is coming back from the dead thanks to you.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at AlexJonesLive.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Auchincloss receives over $1 million from AIPAC. AIPAC's Jake Auchincloss wants more social media censorship. He regularly conflates criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. Well, this is the exact type of material that would be banned if he had his way. See, I mean, this is the type of dangerous anti-Semitism that he wants eliminated, and the only thing standing in his way is that troublesome First Amendment. God, if we could only... we could only conflate the First Amendment with white supremacy, then we could get rid of it once and for all. And finally, we can wield our influence in total obscurity. Yeah, it's not really all that confusing, is there? In fact, yesterday, it was either a video or an article, but I didn't get to it. I didn't cover it. But in Germany, they just instituted some safety protocols, you know, to make sure that things expressed online comport with the lawful expression that Germans are allowed to make. And a woman asked, I think she must have asked ChatGPT, how do we get rid of Ursula von der Leyen? Right? Because it's a democracy. What would be the strategy of swapping your leaders? What would be the best strategy and to pursue if your attempt is to replace one democratic leader with another? And she was immediately banned for that question. So, like, this is the type of stuff that I'm sick of having to try to talk about, because we know what their real motives are. It, you know, the classic example, it's like, I'm not interested in standing at my doorstep debating with a thief who's dressed up like a plumber about my water system. Like, that's how it feels right now. So I'm like, you're just a thief trying to get in my house. And they're like, oh, but, you know, what do you know about L brackets? I'm like, I'm not interested in talking to you about, you're not going to convince me that I need you to let you in my house to fix plumbing. You're just casing the joint. I know what you're doing. We don't have to talk. I don't have to debate you and get you to admit it before I just slam the door in your face and lock it or pull out a gun and get you off my property. Like, that's where I'm at this point. It's just like, I'm done discussing any of this crap. None of it is even up for debate. The entire point of the debate, like the entire reason the debate exists, is a bunch of liars are just lying endlessly and can't get what they want if they don't convince you of their lies. They have to keep trying to make these lies work, and it's just infuriating and exhausting. At a certain point, we need to just stop listening to these people. And it's just like across the board. I guess as we approach 250th anniversary of our founding, I guess I'm feeling a little xenophobic these days. A little xenophobic. You know, I'm scared of the outsiders / just sick and tired of it. It would be different. Like, maybe the most frustrating thing is the appearance of and the facsimile of open debate, where you get the feeling that whoever's got the better argument is going to win the day. And if you have proof of your statement, then the people you're talking to, when presented that proof, will come over to your side. And it's the, once again, sort of like disappointed optimist, where it's like, I can imagine a world where, sure, you've got a strongly held belief and I have a strongly held belief, but we can talk about it. And hey, maybe I come over to your side. Maybe you come over to mine. I've seen it happen in my own life. It's happened to me where I thought one thing. You know, I talked about one yesterday where, you know, around 2016, I'd been more, you know, listening and reading more libertarian stuff and didn't think the border was that important. But I listened to Donald Trump's arguments. They were convincing. They made a hell of a lot of sense. And I changed my mind. I would later go and have conversations with leftists. I would make those same arguments. They would acknowledge the arguments were valid and the conclusions were accurate, and then they wouldn't change their mind. That's what I don't understand. And that's what's infuriating, is we have this entire system set up to have these discussions to come to truth, but everybody enters into the discussion with a pre-established conclusion that they won't change from and that is wrong on the face of it. It honestly just goes on and on. So I want to go now to a very important message on American values from a show called Identity Politics and a friend of the show, by the way. Let's go to clip number 20. Hello? Clip 20? Let's go to clip 20, guys.
Now, of course, what does he mean by American values? Where did those American values come from? What year were they invented? I mean, what are we dealing with right now? We've got the Asian lawyer from the ACLU and Ketanji Brown Jackson wondering what the founders meant. I mean, does anyone else see the absurdity here? So like Chinese birth tourists and every Mayan in some Central American jungle can crawl in here and say they're just as American as we are? We all know what's going on here, and so do they. This whole thing is a farce. What are these American values? Because if we actually want to go to the founding generation, you want to talk about American values? Those values were religious fanaticism, white nationalism, race war for land acquisition, and a determination to shoot anyone who says you have to pay your taxes. There's your American values. I mean, this country was founded by racist smugglers, frontier warlords, land speculators, and plantation owners pretending to be Romans. And that's why it's the greatest country in the world.
That is the type of speech that we need ahead of this 250th anniversary of the founding of the country. What's this? Wait a second. I've got a feeling.
You messed it up. I was going to come. You didn't see me there.
I was trying.
You know why? There was dead air and they wouldn't play the clip. Not the crew's fault. I violated my own worst rule. I was in the control room pontificating.
Having a conversation.
No, I was busy. I had to go take care of an errand. I'm like, I want to see this Owen joke you did. And then I was here. They were recounting to me what you'd been doing. So we were talking about your show. And I just want to say this. I love Owen Schroyer's new look. I think it's a very good stunt he's pulled. He has really pulled it off. If I am going to ever direct a Hollywood movie where there's a guy driving around in an ice cream truck, that delivers children to Hit the Clown, he is getting the starring role. So I think it's great. I think it's an Andy Kaufman type deal. Owen's a very handsome guy, and somehow he found a way to. This is what he wanted. He wants publicity, and this is definitely a good publicity stunt for him. So I hope it helps his show.
It's a look. It's certainly a look.
Well, he also also called me the other day, and he said, "You're not allowed to talk about Israel." And actually, that's not true. That's what he said about me. But anyways, the point is, and you're not talking about Israel right now.
Never, not
get
once.
Get back on it.
I've never even heard of it.
Hey, this hat right here, though, is the answer to the tyranny of the Alex.
Hold on. Here's what I want to know.
Now, let me get on it.
How does the hat look with the wig?
Oh, I'm going to host
that's
it.
On it.
And I wasn't going to talk about it because I don't want to get in a fight with Owen. I actually like Owen a lot. I'm going to host now. Just get out of the chair.
All right.
I am censoring now. All right.
Crew, bring it down.
And since I'm going to act like Owen, like the last year he was here, like walk by and say hi to me.
Hey, Owen, how you doing? How you doing, buddy? You doing good? Yeah? You doing all right?
Yeah.
All right. Keep up good work, brother.
Yeah. You realize what a rock star I am? You know I'm going to be the new Rush Limbaugh, right? I have a gold. He actually told me, he goes, I'm going to be the new Rush Limbaugh, okay? I'm going to be the biggest host in the world. Got a gold microphone.
He just needed the wig. Now that he's got their...
Well, I mean, Limbaugh didn't have this. So the problem is... Oh, my God. He was the ambassador. Now, how could I look that creepy, though? Here's the deal. I think it's a stunt, but he's lost like 30 pounds. He was not fat before. So does he have a tapeworm? Because he kind of looks like a cross between Freddie Mercury and John Holmes, who did die of AIDS.
You think he's got AIDS?
I don't think Owen has AIDS. Don't joke around about that. I don't know.
All right. How's it look with the hat? That's what we got.
No, this is what we're... See, I'm not trying to be mean. I actually want to help him with this publicity stunt. I mean, he already used me for a publicity stunt saying I was censoring, which wasn't true. So, I mean, maybe I gave Owen AIDS. Yeah. All right, folks, it's the War Room. And, you got those Orthodox Catholics, the Orthodox Church over in Russia. You know, the Orthodox Church is Catholic. I have quite the geopolitical understanding of things. And, well, anyways, have you been to a baseball game lately? Actually, when I attacked Owen, it gave me some really big numbers. Then, of course, now I feel sad, actually. The show's not doing too well. I actually mean that. We're helping you now, Owen. You want publicity? The truth is that he actually looks like, who's the actor, Matthew McConaughey, that does the Buyers Club? I was actually saying to the crew this morning, I was like, he looks like the Buyers Club guy. And they're like, that was the next meme right under it. But remember, we're on hundreds of radio stations. People are driving around, and enough of our old audience on radio stations, you listen to Owen, that, so they're kind of like, no, we're talking about. We're talking about our former co-host, who now, if you're not a TV viewer, you can't see it. You're going to be searching his name now. I don't know. I would say he looks healthier than Owen right there. So I'm not kidding. Actually, I don't think it's a stunt. I think Owen's had a nervous breakdown. So we should stop making fun of him. In fact, I didn't tell you what to do, but people asked if I was going to cover it. I didn't cover it. But you did this mean-spiritedly. You made me do it.
I thought it was cool. I was gonna.
Dude, I look like a total stud right now.
Looks good. You can have the wig.
I mean, will they know it's fake, though? Or they can tell it's toupee?
I don't know. It looks pretty good. I like it.
All right, I'm going to let you do your show again. I actually came in here just to let you know that I violated my own rule. Matt was running the board. He did finally say, shut up. And he goes, Alex is doing story time right now. Oh, my God, they're going to say I'm doing an Illuminati code thing with one eye's covered up.
Well, you're Agartha. You're Hyperborean right now. You're one of the tall.
We have come to your planet in peace. You will live forever, but you must kill all the humans. Take your DMT, and we always come to say, kill. Jesus is not the way. Kill everyone. We are here to love you in peace. Kill everyone, and you will transcend to the Hale-Bopp comet. People are like, I'm being serious. The DMT demons always tell you to kill yourself and kill everybody, but it's loving and liberal. I'm the new Rush Limbaugh. Oh, God, I'm so sick of this. Oh, God, I don't have a golden microphone.
Take your shirt off.
Folks, should I take my shirt off? Folks, I wasn't trying to fool you. I wasn't trying to fool you. I'm actually bald-headed, okay? This was not I mean, bovine colostrum helps regrow hair, but not. Oh, yeah. That's it. Hold on. Dude, this is real. Hold on, guys. Cut. Don't let them know this is fake. God, we're trying to deceive people right now. I'm trying to convince them I'm not a clone here. How do you do this? I've never. Hold on.
There
you go. Okay. Hold on. Actually, this is how it works. These bovine colostrum gummies are so strong and make your hair and nails grow so good that you eat one capsule. They do taste delicious. Great flavor. And literally, this fast, put something on screen so I can deceive them. Yeah, yeah. Literally, in seconds, ba-boom, dun-dun-dun. Oh, look at those goldy. That's how my color of my hair was when I was like three. It was white, then it was yellow, then it was, you know, look at that. I mean, this is incredible. Oh, my God. Oh. If you take another gummy, it grows a hat. What is it? Like a fishing line.
I know, it gets everywhere.
Uh-huh. Quality wear. Back to me. And look, Shazam!
Magic.
It even grows hats. Let's cut back to the ice cream truck driver. Look, the golden microphone. The final ingredient. I like it, actually. I mean, let me tell you, 1970s Ultra Creep is in. All right, I'm going to stop. We love you, Owen. You got the attention you wanted.
I was just saying, it's not a good stunt when the stunt itself overrides what you're trying to say. I don't even know what he was saying in the video.
I don't think it's a stunt, dude. He thinks he's Rush Limbaugh, man, with 5,000 listeners. It's really sad. But he had me a good dead cat bounce when I got mad at him attacking him. But I'm over the fact that he lied about me. I actually like it. I enjoy it. Anyway, well, we'll see you, buddy.
We pray for the best for Owen.
Don't you talk about Israel one time.
Never once. I've never even mentioned it, I don't think. All right, folks. Now, look, I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you whether Bovine Colostrum Plus will grow you a hat on your head, but I think it's worth a shot. I think it's worth a try. The grape flavor is delicious, and you just might grow a hat. So what do you know? It's worth a shot, isn't it? I'm telling you, the hair gets absolutely everywhere. Maybe we'll put it on the skull. Maybe it'll be a good look for the skull. We'll do that. That'll be our background advertisement. All right, where were we? We're celebrating the 4th of July. I think that's where we were days away from the 250th anniversary of the birth of these United States and our glorious triumph through history. And you can celebrate it today by going to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. Get the 1776 cross musket embroidered hat. And it is embroidered. You can actually see the very fine stitching on the backside. If you go to dot cam here, you can see. Just because a lot of times, if you want to get a hat, it's just a patch that they like iron on. Not this stuff. This stuff is, very, very well made, very high quality. I've got ink stains on my fingers. That's embarrassing, but everything else is perfect. It is the coolest hat I've ever seen. I might steal this one too. Hell, I might steal two hats. That's just how cool they are. I gave the other one to my son, and I mean, how cute is that? Father and son matching hats, 4th of July. We might have to do it. That might have to happen. I do hope you support us. And at the end of the day, you know, I got a lot of news still to get to. And part of me feels bad when I just, like today, for example, nearly over the second hour, I feel like I've spent a lot of this time just trying to identify, trying to define, and trying to explain the mindset of the left. I hope you find that valuable. I hope it's like a way of thinking about it that people haven't thought about before. Or if nothing else, you know, I hope that we can just be sort of an outlet. That's just like, because I know there are millions of people out there that every single day you're seeing multiple videos of arguments being made, discussions being had, and you're probably sitting there going, does anybody believe that? Does anybody actually think these things are true? And I hope, if nothing else, you can know, yeah, your friends at the Alex Jones Network understand exactly how you feel. We feel it also. And the frustration is immeasurable. And while that might not be the most productive, you know, thing to talk about, I feel like we gotta
we got to figure out how to deal with this, like how to stop being trapped in these rhetorical maelstroms that just spin us around and get us nowhere. And it seems like this is a ubiquitous, a constant feature of our political system. And I, to a certain extent, it was built this way on purpose, like especially the Senate. I mean, the whole idea was, well, we want endless debate because we don't want to change things too quickly. But when the debate is happening with somebody who doesn't even believe what they're saying and is just engaged again in this game, in this sport where they just have to get the ball over the line and whatever lies they have to tell and whatever, you know, misapprehension they have to pretend themselves to believe, like they'll do it because they're just trying to win the game. I'm not trying to win a game. I'm trying to speak the truth. I'm trying to pursue justice. I'm trying to live in a country that provides its citizen basic safety, like is laid out in the preamble to our Constitution. Like, that's my motive, and I'll go wherever that path leads. So if you can show me evidence that what I believe is wrong, do you think I'm going to keep insisting? No, I'm going to change my mind, because evidence of the truth is my guidepost, right? That's what you follow. And it's almost an impossible task to try to engage in the world that we live in if that is your sincere belief, because it seems like most of the people in charge don't have that belief, are not concerned about any of the things that a normal person would be concerned with, like telling the truth and providing safety. I mean, I think back to the Keith Ellison questioning in front of Congress when he was caught again, and we went over this ad nauseum at the time, but he was caught on video or on audio, secretly recorded with a microphone, collaborating with the Somali scammers. No uncertain terms, no vagueness. It was literally, if you support me, I will get the investigations canceled. Cut and dry, clear as day. What happens to him? He goes in front of Congress, he's presented with his evidence, and he smirks and he smiles and he says, what are you going to do about it? I'm getting away with it. And it's that attitude. It's that. And at the time, I remember saying, like, we don't need him to acknowledge it. You know, this is like, it's like you have somebody on camera jacking your stuff. You know it's them. And you go, I know you stole this. And they're just like, I didn't, though. You don't have to convince them to admit it. You don't have to argue with them and reason with them and say, look, I have you on, because they don't care. They can get away with it. It's a flaw in our system that we need to solve, that we need to resolve, that we need to undo, because it works. Somehow it works. Is these people just refuse to acknowledge their own complicity in crimes, and so they don't get punished for it. And it's like, since when do we require the criminal to, like, present themselves as guilty? We know what they did. Let's punish them for it. We know the outcome of bills they want to pass. Let's not pass them. But it's like, we can't do it. We can't get over it. So again, I'm going to hit the ground running on the other side with, like, real important monumental geopolitical news, including the fact that U.S. officials believed Israel was plotting to kill Iranian negotiators during negotiations. And I will add again, because they already did this multiple times, and America had to then warn Iran that our allies were trying to kill the negotiators, which we'll chuck this on the pile of reasons why Israel is our enemy. But it's not changing, but nothing about that is changing. So I'm going to get to that in a very strong way. I also want to touch on the new article from Whitney Webb about Polymarket and the way that that is being used in conjunction with other big tech operations to manipulate our reality. And we'll talk a little bit more about the DSA, but I want to go to this clip from Dale Partridge. This is clip number 3 here. And I think this is a very powerful, and again, like, this is what people need to understand. Once again, the hardest part about our current situation is knowing that we have all of the human capital we could possibly need to set things right. We have all of the ability to do everything that could stop crime and end hunger. Like, we have the ability to do all of this, but we're prevented from actually accessing our own attributes and resources because a bunch of stupid Americans are just too gullible and just will keep believing the crap that they're sold and will never stand up for themselves. That's the frustrating part. Just stand up for yourself. Just believe in yourself. Just understand that you're the only one who will defend yourself and nobody else has your best interest in mind. And it's not, it doesn't make you a polite or good or respectable person to be a sucker and a fool who gets taken advantage of. Here's Dale Partridge.
White hospitality is killing the West. Assimilation only works when a nation's people strongly stigmatize foreigners. Think about the words foreign and strange. That's how non-natives should feel in our country. They are foreigners and they are strangers. We don't have to hate all the outsiders, but all outsiders must feel constant social pressure, even fear of a degree of discrimination, if they refuse to speak our language, adopt our customs, dress like us, and uphold our Christian heritage. Without that unrelenting pressure from the native people, outsiders will never assimilate. They will remain who they are, they will form parallel societies, and eventually they will impose their ways on us. In other words, our Christian hospitality, combined with today's tolerance, has not produced a melting pot because there's no heat. There's no pressure to conform. We foolishly opened our doors, our neighborhoods, and our nations to incompatible people with a smile. And now we're being replaced in our own homelands. This suicidal kindness has to end. It's effeminate and it's foolish. Loving the stranger does not mean you let him steal your home. Hospitality without discernment is not a virtue. It's national suicide.
Brilliant. Dale Partridge at Dale Partridge on X. Loving the stranger does not mean giving up your homelands. And I got no beef with what he just said. I'll just say in terms of like the language that you use, I don't consider this kindness. Like I get what he said. He said, you know, suicidal kindness or like this overabundant kindness or suicidal empathy. Again, these are accurate things to call it if that's what you want to call it. But I would just say that it's not kindness to be rocked. You're not being kind when you believe a lie. You're not. You're not even being kind to the liar. You're just being a sucker. You're just being a fool. You're just being an idiot. So it's not even really kindness that's compelling people. It's fear. They're not being kind. They're being fearful. They're being cowardly. They're being suckers and fools. They're not being kind. They're not being empathetic.
I'm about to tell you a great truth, but like most great truths, everybody already knows it. But do you act on it? How you look on the outside is a reflection of what's happening on the inside. If you see your neighbor and they look all kind of green or stumbling around sweating, you're like, hey, Bob, are you sick? Yeah, I got the flu. If somebody's glowing and happy and looks super healthy, you ask them, hey, what are you doing to be so healthy? Ladies and gentlemen, bovine colostrum is known for decades by women and loved. And, you know, doctors push it because it works. And nutritionists for your hair, your skin, your nails. But that's the outside. Imagine what it's doing on the inside. That's where it has its most important effect, is in your guts, your immune system, and your organs. The Alex Jones Store's bovine colostrum is a private label of the top brand in the country. It's up to 4 times stronger than leading competitors, and it's the strongest out there and the highest rated. It gives you all of the key ingredients at the highest quality level that hasn't been pasteurized, so it hasn't been heated up to ruin the cofactors that are in it. But as quickly as I can, I want to just read you some of what is in this bovine colostrum and announce to you that we don't just have the powder now. We have these naturally flavored, amazing grape gummies that are even more concentrated than the powder. A 1 month supply, 2 gummies a day, and it doesn't just do your hair, nails, and skin. That's the outward thing it does. It's what it does to your gut and your organs. The gummy format also habituates you because it tastes so good to remember to take it, and kids love it as well. 600 milligrams per serving, every 2 gummies, a clinically meaningful dose, not a token amount, but a strong dose that will really give you great results. So get the powder and get the grape gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air. Be healthier. Have a better life. A true 360 win. Thank you for your support. And the gummies are discounted for a limited time out of the gates. Again, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.